All right, we're going to be in 1 Timothy chapter 1. So get settled and turn there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Seth, I heard, did a great job last week. Thank you for filling in, Seth, being obedient to the Lord. One day I will be able to, somebody's got to show me how to access the sermons that are on, what is it called, whatever it is, the Google Pad, and I will listen to them faithfully. But we're looking at, we tried. We're going to look at verse 5 today in 1 Timothy. Lord, just, you know where my heart is and my mind is today. I don't think I'm alone as far as sometimes we just feel completely unraveled, Lord. So by your Spirit, take each and every one of us, our hearts, our minds, still us, calm us. Let us hear you through your holy word, Father. Help us, Lord. Help us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Seth gave a real good background, I heard, on Paul writing Timothy. And what we had here was Paul was instructing Timothy about charging those to teach no other doctrine, sound doctrine. And that's one of those things that sometimes we just let slip. You know, how important is doctrine? And doctrine is the most important thing. As far as the Word of God, correct doctrine, not just any breeze that blows through. The point, I feel, of all sound doctrine that we can substantiate in the Word, doctrine that we know is just proofed positive through context and the rest of the scriptures that go along with it, all of that scripture, its purpose in doctrine is to go where we are in verse 5 today to produce a result. It's not just something, oh yeah, that church believes pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. Oh, that church believes, you know. Sound doctrine is to create a life of faith for each and every one of us that are in Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul is trying to instruct Timothy with the surroundings that he had at that time, just like every one of us, our workplaces, our families, the towns we live in, wherever it is, we're inundated by unbelief, we're inundated by ideas, and well, what if, and how about, and maybe it's this way. We need this sound doctrine. We need to search these scriptures constantly to make sure that God is yea and amen as he says he is. Because if he isn't, we might as well read Time magazine or, you know, Dave, I'm looking at you and I'm thinking, you know, Car Trend, Hot Rod, what other ones? Yeah. This will change our lives if we allow it. No other word will do that for eternity. So as we're looking at that, I want to look at verse 5 today. And I want to just hit, Paul is instructing from verse 4 to 19, let's say, he's instructing on the loss of truth, which I think is really starting to happen in our time frame right now, the loss of God's truth and how it's being assaulted. He's talking about the law of Christ in these next few verses, which some of us, when we hear law, we think legalism. We're going to learn about that. The law is good. The law is what directs us right to the throne of God. He's also talking about the love of Jesus, his for us and God, and ours for him, and he's instructing us in a life of faith. This is not a game that we're playing. This is not something where we just, you know, on Sunday, if I feel like it, or I don't have anything more important to do, or if the Broncos aren't playing at 11, you know, forgive me, Bronco fans. And I wonder, are we really fans anymore? Somebody can name the whole first line anymore? You know. Anyhow, we've got to get into this seriously for what lies ahead of each and every one of us. Or I feel we can be in some very shaky standing. So Paul is giving us those areas in sound doctrine, how to keep it, how to defend against it, and this loss of truth. So let's just look at verse 5 in your translation. It might sound a little different, possibly, but Paul says to Timothy, now the end of the commandment is charity, or some of you might have love, is what that means, out of a pure heart. If you feel good about underline that, because we're gonna key in on some parts, and I probably won't even finish this one today. But he's saying the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart and of a good conscience. Underline that. And faith unfeigned. So Paul is instructing us on some Christian practices. He's instructing us on where sound doctrine, the doctrine that was first delivered to the saints, where and what it should do in our lives. And that one pure heart really got to me today. But Paul is saying the end of the commandment. Now, not the Ten Commandments, not Moses' commandment. The purpose is what he's saying. The purpose of the commandments. If we can, I don't, does anybody have it written that way in their translation? What? The New King James. I'm needing a new one pretty soon, but. There we go. Okay. So somebody, the Ten Commandments. No, it's the goal of the commandments, the whole purpose.
The New American Standard says that the goal of our instruction.
And yours said what, Maria?
It says the purpose of the commandments.
The purpose. Okay. So the point and purpose of this whole thing is love. Love, not my love, not my conditional, merited type of outpouring of this love. It's God's agape, his unconditional love towards all. Guilty. Anybody else? I have not accomplished that. And there's times that I know God is trying to move me into that area, and I just dig my heels in because I have all this rationale why I can't love that person, that individual, that situation. I can't do that because, and I have all my listings. Craig and I have been for years discussing vain jangling. I don't think I'll get to 6, but that's what vain jangling is. Excuses, nothing but excuses. And Paul is trying to tell Tim, man, the whole thing, the whole purpose of all this is love, agape. Godly love, not how we think or how we feel. And I started to think about that. And I, like I said, none of us in this flesh will ever accomplish that. There's no such thing as sinless perfection. I've preached that for years, but that doesn't give us excuse. That is not what we should use to say, well, you know, but I'm not perfect, so I don't have to. God is saying, I want you to love that individual. I want you to show love to that individual. I want you to walk in love. I want you to live in love. I want you to, you know, just show people what you saw in me that very first time that each one of us surrendered to him. So if we look at love or God's command, turn to Matthew 7, if you would. So what's this, you know, what does it look like? And that seems to be a goal that's almost impossible to attain, right? This godly love. But it's not. He would never even suggest it to us if it wasn't possible to change a little bit every day, to grow a little bit every day in our attitudes and in our outreaches and in our thoughts towards, and especially the thoughts, the quiet thoughts are the ones that really get dug. I can put on that face and everything and say certain things, but what's going on here? As Pat always says, what's going on in your attic? So she knows that there's something that might not be right. But anyhow, Matthew 7, verse 12, if you're there, this love, again, I can't do that. But listen what the Lord, through the Spirit of God, tells us. Therefore, in verse 12, all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets, the golden rule, So we laugh, you know, well, yeah, whoever's got the most gold rules, right? No. How do I want to be treated? How do you want to be treated? That's the way that God is saying in this love, you treat that individual, whether I feel he or she is worthy of it. How many of us were worthy of God's love the day that we received him? I don't know. So Matthew 7 is that first step for us, that we can start to look at ourselves and think, well, it's not that. How do I want to be talked to? Does anybody like to be yelled at? Does anybody like to have the finger pointed at them when somebody's talking? Boy, that's one that gets my toes curling. How about, I don't mind you telling me something, but don't do it this way, you know? How do I want to be treated? Well, it's so simple then that when I come up against someone else or another situation, I treat them the way I think I would like. Pretty easy then to do this commandment of love. Turn to Galatians 5. You know, and Paul's getting into the law in the next few verses, and please don't ever think that the law, if it's taken to legalism, it's wrong. But the law of Christ is really something that gets into our heart and gets these feet and these bodies moving in the right direction. So when we look at this commandment ending up in its whole purpose that God is even talking to us is that we love. Listen to what Galatians 5 says. And I was picking out 14, but we might have to jump back. But it says, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as yourself. Wow. So I jumped up last night just looking again at this. In 13, for brethren, you've been called unto liberty. And we just said it with the Spirit of the Lord is there, it's freedom. And in this liberty, sometimes we overstep our bounds. I know I do. I'm not talking at anybody, you know, particularly. I overstep my bounds in the liberty that Christ has given to me when it comes to this love. I judge, I have conditional, I want some kind of merit or whatever my mood might be that day. It affects the way that Christ is asking me to love someone else. So you've been called unto liberty, only don't use that liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. And that word serve is minister to one another. What do we each need? Everybody needs something different. Everybody might just need a high hello. Some people might need a hug. Some people don't even want to be hugged. You know, just we've got to look and watch and listen. But Paul is saying to Timothy, I want you to show God's love. Where I left you in Ephesus, I did that for a reason. The commandments, they're not hard. It's all about love. Anybody don't want to be loved? No. I think that's one of the basic human needs. Love of whatever way it might express itself, but we want to be loved. And God loves us. If we want to know one thing, God loves us. And we know that Jesus loved us because he was willing to come down, die on that cross for our sins, and he's loving us today. He's still there. So I don't know which heart is in here today that the whole purpose of this is not to get your wallet. The whole purpose of this isn't to build a bigger facade that we can sit 3,000-4,000 people in. The whole thing is to propagate God's love to a world that's dying. Been reading this for 40 years, and did verse 5 ever jump out that rich and that real, that this is what the whole thing's about? Not that we can become these real cool people, not that we can become, you know, debt-free, fault-free, whatever else. It's just that we would show God's love. Wow. So let's turn back there to Timothy. Did I finish? No. You know what? I wanted to go one after that. Don't go back there yet. Verse 15. Well, so what if I, you know, what's the big deal? What if I don't? Well, without that love that we're being instructed today, that we would not just speak it, but live it. Verse 15 says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed of one another. Point and purpose. Without God's love, then it's very easy for me to say, oh, you know, that Tom, don't tell Tom though, okay? If we just even little gossips, God is saying without my love, being in action, you are going to just devour one another. You're going to be consumed of one another. And before we know it, you know, we want nothing to do with each other. So how important is sound doctrine? It's critical. And it is the one that Christ is trying to ask us. Open your hearts to this today. Now, 1 Timothy, again, turn back to it. So the end of this commandment, the point, the purpose is charity out of a pure heart. Wow, that one, just, you know, so I started breaking it down. I thought, out of a pure heart. How do I do that? You know, what does a pure heart mean? And most of us, you know, I've been spending an awful lot of time in the hospital. This heart is a mechanical organ. It pumps. It doesn't think. It doesn't feel. But we've always thought that. Okay? It's a very important part. But out of a pure heart. So that means more, doesn't it? My heart is pure because I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do nothing, really. You know, that's not what the Lord is saying. He's saying out of a pure heart. And he starts opening it up more, but I wanted to look at that pure heart because I started asking, Lord, you know my heart. You know it. And you know at times it's not really pure. And when it's not, it's definitely not coming from him. It's either coming from Doug or it's coming from the adversary of our souls. So I started thinking, Lord, you want this pure heart, you want love coming out of me from a pure heart. How do I do this? How do I do this? So I asked myself that question this week and last night, but I'd ask each one of us in honesty, when you go home today, to make sure that, you know, everything is fine about your face when we stand in front of the mirror. And I haven't done it in a while. You know, we stand there, don't we? And we see windows when we walk by on the street in a restaurant. We make sure that the butt doesn't look too big and the belly's, you know, we lean forward. We watch ourselves, don't we? I want to question myself, not my outward appearance, but my inward appearance to God. How's my heart? How is my heart? So I'd ask you, how's your heart today? Only you can answer that. How's your heart before God? Is it pure? And if so, praise God. You know, and we can say, well, of course, I'm in Christ Jesus. I'm righteous. I'm justified. I'm sanctified. No. I'm talking about the human responsibility compared to the divine sovereignty of God. How is your heart, Doug, in every situation? So a pure heart. How's my heart today before God in my responsibility? And I'm going to just Psalm 51. I don't want to rush through this one, so we are going to, this might be as far as we get today. But to answer that question, how's my heart today before God? And as you turn into Psalm 51, are you in a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ? Oh, yeah, God, you know, the man upstairs, my bud. You know, I'm not talking about that T-shirt representation of an almighty God, the creator of the universe, the man, like Tom said, who spans the universe in his hands and set the stars in their place. And how's my heart with him today? Am I his? Have I accepted what he's put out on that cross? Salvation, forgiveness of sins, eternal life. Not perfect pathways, not everything's going to be very smooth, but my eternal love that God will show to me as I show it back to him. Psalm 51, I think, I only wanted verse 10 out of Psalm 51, but let's not jump there yet. I think this speaks to our heart, and if you'll take this week and read it, and read it again, and read it again. I've always said, what's the sinner's prayer? And last night, I almost felt like God was showing me, Doug, this is a good sinner's prayer for your heart. This was written by David after his sin with Bathsheba. Okay. The man was crushed. The man was wondering, who am I? Where am I? What am I? What's going to happen? Just like every one of us probably do daily. The sinner's prayer, like I said, this is a sinner's prayer. This is good medicine for the heart right here. This is, you know, and this is the big push today. I might have it wrong because I do eat Spam. Constantly. Cece and Ross, like, are my own executive chefs when it comes to Spam. You ought to taste some of her spam, and his was good too. Hey, this is holistic medicine right here. It's holistic, that means everything, right? Every part of us, when you go to a holistic practitioner, he wants to take care of everything, but he doesn't take care of this spiritually. And I'm not just looking at you, okay? Tom's kind of a holistic guy. I don't want to insult him, he's my brother. I'm talking about everything. God is addressing the pure heart right now. And every doctor, every holistic, every voodoo, every whoever it is, they can't address the spiritual part of our heart. They can't. And what God is commanding is love from a pure heart. So how do we do it? Read this every day. Speak it to our Lord and Savior. Speak it to ourselves. Stand in front of the mirror so you maybe think, I really mean this. Let's just walk through it. Have mercy on me, O God. According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wow, you know, each one of these are a sermon in themselves, but you add to it if you would. I mean, let's cry. It says, come to the throne room of God, you know, with boldness that we might be able to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. Who needs it? My brother Ted needs it. He's already been there. Have you been to the throne of God for mercy and for his tender, loving kindness? That's the God that we serve. Verse 2, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. We're so dirty, we don't even realize it anymore. In here. Yeah, we take a shower, we can wash our hair, we can put on my nephews just got me this. I thought they might come up today, so I put it on. We can dress up. But God's not talking about that. He's talking about a pure heart inside where I am. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. If you're in Christ, this has been done. If you're not, there's still some innermost parts that need to be cleaned. For I acknowledge my transgressions. Do I? Do I or do I rationalize them? Do I make excuses for each and every one of them? For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. And I want to see, you know, when I said holistic, this has to do with the eyes. Every part of the body is going to be mentioned in this little psalm, in this perfect sinner's prayer. My sin is ever before me. We know it. We know it. We know it from the time we're a little kid, don't we? Did you take that toy? No.